afternoon, everyone. Thanks again for joining us on the Will and Dave Show. Today, we have another guest as we're going to continue with this sort of this run of ours of talking about these vaccination health passes or passports. So we have a wonderful guest lined up for you today. We're going to talk to her about the same story, but from the perspective in Manitoba. Quick little content advisory as we get into it. We are going to be talking about the health pass, vaccines, some health concerns, but it shouldn't be anything too egregiously scary. We just wanted you to be aware as we get into it.
The sponsor for this episode is Northern Truss, your one-stop shop for floor systems and for all your truss needs. Phone the team at Northern Truss at 250-787-3033, locally owned and operated in Fort St. John, B.C.
Hey there, and thanks for tuning into the Will and Dave Show. I'm Susan, and I don't know about you, but I think that in the whole world, there's nothing as warm and comforting as a handmade quilt. And quilters the world over have wonderful stories to tell. So to showcase their stories, I host a podcast. It's called Measure Twice, Cut Once, and Other Life Lessons Learned from Quilters. You can tune in to the podcast anywhere that podcast apps are, whatever your favorite is, or you can find a direct link on my website, stitchedbysusan.com. And now, back to the show.
Well, William, it's been another week.
It's been a week, yes.
And off air, I've been harassing you about your hairdo that we can't even see in this shot, and it's probably just as well.
For those of you who aren't watching and who listen to this in the future people, I now have a top knot.
A man bun.
As opposed, well, no, because a man bun involves me like twirling it around itself and putting a hair tie on. I don't have that much hair. I literally have like a tassel that it's just long enough that I can fold it back on itself once.
And there are so many bad things I could say about that, but I'm not going to go there.
I'm just not cool enough for a man bun yet, Dave. I'm working my way there, though. You know?
Okay. So I just want to go really quickly through the premise of this show.
Okay.
I'm old. You're young.
Ish.
I'm conservative. You're much more not conservative.
Progressive. I would call myself progressive.
And at the end of the day, we hit these hard topics, and yet we even love each other and like each other, which is rather amazing.
Most days, yeah.
Yeah. Except for when you talk to your mother.
Got a different story entirely then. It's anybody's game.
So in the interest of full disclosure, I want to say something about our sponsors. Mm-hmm. The first one is my brother, and no money has changed hands, unfortunately. He pays you to work there.
But yeah, it's because I work.
And the other one is my wife, who's your mother, and again, no money has changed hands.
But so our she sponsors keeps you in the doghouse, so
are what make us able to do this through love and support, and that's about it. So if you're wondering why we're not rich, it's because our sponsorships are family.
Yeah, blame them. The show's great, but they're not paying us enough.
That's right. So without further ado, we are going to bring in Lisa Barnes, and we're going to talk about Manitobans against the health passport.
It's Manitoba businesses against the health passport or health card. Health pass? Which is it being called there in Manitoba?
Health pass. Manitoba businesses against the health pass.
Perfect. That was a terrible segue. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm good. How are you?
If we were getting paid $1 million a year or several million like your hero, Mr. Tucker Carlson, maybe we would get the segue smooth, but no.
Free entertainment, though. That's
yeah,
okay.
It's not worth
tops
it.
Off.
Tucker Carlson. It's not worth it.
Right. So, Lisa, would you give us a little bit of history about you and why you're doing this and what the scoop is?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two children. We're a single family household income. Manitoba has been one of the provinces that have been hit most hardest. I mean, everything from not being able to buy non-essentials to lockdowns. We haven't had the curfew or anything like that yet, but we've been hit hard in our province. And I think small businesses, a lot of my family either own small businesses or work for a small business. And I think small businesses are part of our community, right? My husband also being like his job is going to be asking him for if he's rolled up his sleeve or not. That's another reason why when I saw this group, there was another girl that created it. I knew I had to help. I had a background in running Facebook groups and I knew I had to help. I knew I had something to offer. And I'm not a huge fan of being like center of attention for things. So I'm not going to go stand in front of like 5,000 people at a rally, but this is something I can do. So I knew I had to help here.
Well, that's good because right now you're only in front of 4 people and 2 of them are related to. So
there might be some of my family on here too. I sent them the link.
It's really interesting. As in BC a week ago, we were on with Sean and the overwhelming, what's the word I want? It really is anger at these mandates. Mm-hmm. And it's everybody. It isn't only the right. It isn't only the conservatives. It isn't only the non-vaxxed. It's the vaccinated. Mm-hmm. It's NDP voters. It's liberal voters. It's conservative voters.
Well, I like seeing spectrum. That commonality between the Manitoban group and the British Columbia group is that they share that same mandate of not being anti-vax, anti-mask. That's not the purpose or the impetus behind the group. It's against what they see as an infringement upon their freedoms, which is a very valid concern across party aisles. Like that is not a partisan concept or issue.
I find it interesting in BC that there is a lot of angry people. And when I look in Manitoba, as a rule, I haven't seen as many angry people as I have in BC. Is it a personality of Manitobans a little bit different, or is it just they aren't as vocal?
I think BC is, like my sister lives in BC and she had a good point. She said BC are known for showing up to protests, right? Whether it's pipelines, whether it's whatever it is, they're known for standing up for what they believe in. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why BC is so angry. I think Manitoba, you're going to have that division. There's so many divided where it's like, if you haven't rolled up your sleeve yet, well, you're selfish, right? BC, they have a different mindset, I think, in that province. And it's a good mindset. They want to help and they don't want people to be divided.
Hmm. Maybe it's because for years and years, you've had all the BC butt in BC, which has made them more agitated, or would that calm them down, William? I wouldn't know, but
it depends on the bud.
Depends on the bud. Okay.
Depends on the bud.
Now it depends on the brownie. It seems interesting. And when I look at this from the American perspective, as I've lived here for a number of years, and here you get a lot more of the militant right and left. And I've watched through all of COVID, and Canada as a whole has been really whatever, give the typical Canadian. I mean, I lived up there for most of my life was like, well, it's not good, but I'll live with it.
Ah, shucks. Hey, this is gonna be a rough one.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden it seems as though on this mandate for the vaccine, all of a sudden for the hockey reference, for the Canadians watching, it seems as though no, I've had enough. You've hacked and slashed me in front of the net enough. I'm dropping the gloves. I'm finished.
It's not a bad metaphor.
Except Americans have been doing this for a year now. They've been arguing and fighting and calling each other names and doing everything. And it seems a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden, the Canadians are like, enough is enough. I'm done with this.
We got tired of the basement dwellers taking all the credit and having all the fun. We want a piece of the cake now.
Exactly.
So why now, Lisa? So in your mind, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, why now? Like, what is
I think it's just that final thing where people are seeing that division, right? Like if you can't, like I think sporting events are, people are totally okay. If they can't go to a sporting game, that's okay. Manitoba doesn't have that great of like people standing up for that anyways. But it's like when you can't go to a restaurant or like you can have all these people at your house, but they don't have to be in the same household, but you can't go to the restaurant with them. It doesn't make sense, right? Like whether your medical status, and I think people are just had enough is enough now, right? There's way too much division. Something needs to stop, right? And I feel like our small businesses is what's going to take us there.
Brilliant. They're certainly getting hit the hardest by this whole mandate. They're going to be the ones who have to deal with the fallout from it.
Totally. And there's so many small businesses that I've heard from. It's like, you know, they've supported us throughout this whole thing. Instead of going to Walmart or instead of going to Superstore or wherever they chose to go, these big corporations, they've supported the small businesses. So how can we now say you're not welcome here just because of you didn't do a certain thing, right? Mm-hmm.
For a lot of the home-based, or not the home-based, for the mom and pop shops, you know, who own a fish and chip shop, who own an Italian restaurant, who hire their nieces and their nephews, you know, get, and now Aunt Sally is saying, you know, get to Janie, you're going to work the door and you're going to ask a person not to give me a piece of paper or an ID card or something on your phone. You're going to enforce that. Mm-hmm. That's hard to do on a kid who's 17 years old, who comes in, mm-hmm. all they're making is minimum wage.
It's hard on anyone making minimum wage, kid or not.
It's hard on youth, especially get to look at an adult who said, I'm not going to give you that. And they have to look at him and say, yeah, you do. And it just is this weird new thing in business that we're asking an individual who doesn't have the ability to force, and yet they have to, or they can be shut down. And that is the hard part for me. You know, all the rules and the health and the privacy aside, it's how do you do it? How do you implement it for mom and pop shop? It's easy for Walmart and for Costco. They hire an adult at the door. You know, I have to see your card, you know, your phone. It's easy for them. Mm-hmm. It is not as easy for a mom and pop shop. Mm-hmm. And it'll break them.
Totally.
I mean, just in Fort St. John here, I've already seen multiple businesses that I've gone into with signs essentially saying, hey, this is the mandate. We're following it because we have to, not because we like to. Or some of them are just straight up ignoring it or saying that they're ignoring it. But most of them are saying, hey, we're gonna do this thing because we were told to, not because we have any inclination to do it ourselves. They're just going through the motions and acknowledging outright and upfront that they're just going through the motions to, you know, appease, as they see it, appease Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the biggest thing is everyone needs to stand together, right? Because reality is the government isn't going to have whatever province it is, right? They're not going to have enough officials to go to every single business, right? And shut them down or give them fines or whatever. And when I think the government sees enough businesses standing together, that's a huge thing that they can see that nobody is going to stand for this, because you're right? Like, how can you ask a 17-year-old to stand at the door and ask these questions? You don't know who's coming through that door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's potentially putting younger employees at these small businesses at risk. So if they bump into some dude who's really perturbed about the health passport, I'm not comfortable asking a 17, 18-year-old kid to go up to some big burly oil patch guy and say, hey, you can't come in here unless you show me this paper.
No, exactly.
That's not safe for the kid.
And so on that note, before we go on, I sort of want to share this. William, you brought this on Facebook the other day, and I think it's really...
Somebody else shared it with me, and so I take no credit.
I saw this.
You can read it all, and all of it you can ignore. I think at the end of it, we really just need to realize that we shouldn't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Exactly.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah, like when you go into business and there is a kid there and you may not agree, except it's her job, it's a business job. And absolutely, you can raise your voice, you know, in every medium available, except for at the kid who's standing at the door.
Yes.
You know, that it just isn't cool.
They're just trying to make their wage. They're trying to keep a business afloat, working for whoever it is they're working for. Especially at small businesses. But I mean, that applies to everything. If you go to Walmart and the kid at the front says, hey, you can't, don't be a dick to the kid or the old person or the middle-aged person. Don't be a schmuck to any of them. They make minimum wage. Like, they've got enough on their plate as it is.
Right.
Take it easy.
So we have a question. Invasion of privacy?
I mean, that's kind of what the argument is.
Absolutely. It's interesting in the U.S., the HIPAA rules, the health, I forget what the initials are. It is in Canada, it's the Health Privacy Act. So it only applies for health professionals and not for common people. So I can ask you for your vaccination status, if you have AIDS or don't have AIDS, if you have cancer or don't have cancer. I can ask you that as a common person. As a health professional, I can't. Mm-hmm. As a common one or common individual, I can, except for you do not have to answer me if you don't want to. And that's where it kicks in. And in Canada, they're removing all of those holes and saying anybody can ask anybody for your vaccination status and you have to answer. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big difference.
That's the big catch, is the have to answer part. Like, requiring businesses to ask would be one thing. I mean, yeah, it's still a hassle and still a nuisance and still kind of putting the front line of workers in the crosshairs there. But requiring people to answer, that's where everything goes down a whole different path.
And this is
another, and how do they plan on enforcing that, right? Like, how do they plan on enforcing you to tell people?
Well, as we had the countdown, they have avenues and they will use them, as she said.
That's true. They are threats.
They were very empty threats. Like, what was the question that was asked to the guy? It was, how do you plan on, I can't remember how they asked about enforcement. And he was just like, oh, well, we're doing this through the, you know, the Emergency Health Act. So if we need to, we'll enforce it. Like,
right.
That answers nothing.
No.
Apparently it does, Will. Come on. It's a government official. They, as soon as they open their mouth, it is instant truth. You know.
For those of you listening, you can't see this. You can't hear the skepticism on my face, but it's there.
For those of you listening, you can't see the man bun either, but it's there. So while you talk, Will, with Lisa, I'm going to go again. I'm going to get the results of the poll in BC and bring those up. That's
or even here. You could also grab the Fort St. John poll results if you're able to.
That's what I was going to hang out those poll results. Yeah.
Well, I want to touch on Melody here in the comments. She added a comment that saying they'll just have a computer that they scan your card on as you walk through the door, no entrance without, which is a great idea. I'm not saying that you're suggesting it is a good idea. Obviously, you seem to be upset about it. But how do small businesses acquire a computer that can do that? I mean, you could probably do it on a smartphone. But again, you're still putting the onus of doing this check on the little guy, the small businesses. They're the ones that are gonna have to take this one on the chin, so to speak.
Yeah, it seems like the majority of the things are being put on the small businesses, right? Like the cost to hire somebody to ask for these things. And then, like you said, to scan for these codes. And then if they have fines, if they don't follow it, then the government's not helping them in anything. If they have lawsuits from people taking them to like the Human Rights Commission, the government's not stepping in to help them at all. So it's like, it's all on the business owners.
And there's, as far as I know, at least, there's no protections for if something goes wrong or if anything happens in an altercation there. There's no special protection for them upholding the law for the government's sake. They're just hung out to dry. At least not as far as I know. I could be wrong.
I'm wrong in Manitoba. It's just basically fend for yourself.
Yeah, which is not really helping anyone.
Well, and I know in BC they said if you don't follow the health orders, they're thinking of like shutting down businesses. Like if you don't follow the health order, there's been that threat.
Yeah. Again, how are they going to manage to enforce it? They can't. There's not enough RCMP officers to just go rolling around checking businesses to make sure they're following through.
Exactly.
I imagine it's mostly going to rely on individual reports from other
somebody
citizens.
Reporting them. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, from the looks of things, people aren't really wanting to do. It's one thing to report people for COVID violations, but this is a little different.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
See, we have another comment here from Brittany. She sees 1984 in the background of Dave's shot, which is, yes, great book. And they're curious to know if we feel that the vaccine passport is taking us any closer to Orwellian times.
Maybe. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what Orwellian times is.
Dave, I'll let you answer that one.
George Orwell, who wrote the book 1984.
I should know this because this is my sister asking this question.
I sort of wondered. I bet you're going to take some grief for that after the show. He wrote the book 1984, in which there just is a vast overreach of government.
Okay.
And that is, you know, Orwellian as often is used. If government is overreaching, you know, are we looking at Orwellian? I have. Right. I think I have this now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, perfect.
I have an empty box, but yeah.
Right. So for context, for those of you who can't see it, and or even if you can see it, just so you know what you're looking at, this was a poll done in my own local area, Fort St. John, British Columbia, where before the city responded officially to the news of this health pass mandate, they decided they wanted to poll people in the area and businesses in the area to see what they thought and what their intentions were, et cetera. And I don't... Do you support vaccine verification in order to access discretionary services? And if I remember correctly, I can't see it because the picture is very small, but it's something to the 90%. Tune of 90% said no. They have no intentions of doing that.
And this was the other one which I thought was interesting.
Right. Were the new vaccine verification rules to come into effect, what would your business do? And again, 90%. Like 90% of them said nothing. They're going to do nothing.
Not enforce them. And I would imagine now the attitude is much the same in Manitoba, is it not, Lisa?
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like more in the bigger city, like in Winnipeg, there's people wanting to stand up. A lot of fitness, like gyms and fitnesses, are saying they're not going to ask. A lot of restaurants have closed, like they said, they're closing their dining down. They'll still take takeout or pickup. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that seems like what the majority of people are doing.
You know, I see that and I hear that, and I think it's a little bit of a cop out to say, well, I'm just not going out to serve. I wish that small business would say, hey, I'm just not going to ask. Yeah. I'm going to open my door, except, I mean, all of them have a business and they got to make a living and they don't want to be shut down. Mm-hmm. And that is what's coming. It already is happening in BC.
Well, I have to, I don't know the minutia of the laws either in BC or Manitoba, but I have to wonder if there's, what the language says specifically, like as a business owner, I have to ask, right? But do I have to get an answer? Do I have to log the answer? Do I have anything like that? Because if there's no provision for that, I can just ask, hi, do you have it? No? Okay, come on in. If the law only mandates that I ask for that information, but doesn't mandate what exactly I have to do, regardless of their answer, then it's kind of a cop-out.
Well, I don't think there's any actual, like, it's not black and white. Nobody's been given that, like, what you actually have to do. Do you actually have to scan a card? I know there's a couple of restaurants in Winnipeg that have the scanning thing because there was a few fake scanning things going around and they all had the same name or whatever. Right. But there's no actual, like, in writing what you have to do to, like, ask that.
Which, yeah. Despite my being more progressive, that is probably one of my... The things that infuriates me the most about this is, I mean, I don't support the whole health pass situation, but even if I did, the fact that government's trying to roll it out with absolutely no instructions, no infrastructure, no assistance or advice or anything for these businesses, they're just throwing it all on their plate and being like, here, fix, deal with it.
And then,
figure it out for us.
And then they get all the negativity towards them, right? Like my sister's she's a small business owner and she's took that stance and she's gonna like not ask anybody and she's the one getting all the slack for it, right? Like the government isn't having any messages emailed to them and telling them a horrible person or anything like that, right? It's these business owners that are going to see the brunt of things.
So in light of that and your sister, there's a lot of that that's going around. We see the post-its on the window and the handwritten notes on the windshield. How is she handling it?
It's hard. She has her up days, like her good days and her bad days. To the extent, I mean, one person even said, like, if you're not going to do that, you guys are like walking biohazards. And like the language, it's horrible. She obviously wants to do what's best for her daughter. She has a 16-year-old that's also an entrepreneur and has her own business. And she knows we need to take a stand. But she also has to, like, make ends meet for her family, right? So it's it's definitely, you're stuck in a, like, between a rock and a hard place, and she's not going to say no to the customers that have already, like, that have always supported her as well. So it's definitely a hard situation to be in.
It's interesting how people will, and just over COVID is what, in the US it happens every 4 year at election season, but in Canada, this really has divided a nation, where all of a sudden your neighbor who may not have a vaccination is now your mortal enemy.
Totally. Yeah,
it used to be we only did that over hockey teams, but now it's bleeding into, like, actual life.
Right. Like, this is not a Canadian attitude.
No, it's not.
But it is so new. It maybe was, as you said, Will, if you're a Leafs fan or a Habs fan. But other than that,
that
or Calgary, Edmonton, you'll get there'll be fist fights over that.
Or like Quebec, Ontario. That was about as extreme as it got.
Except who ever argued over anything in between Manitoba and Saskatchewan? Like, who cares how many moose are in each other's province? Like, it never made any difference. Nobody cared, except for now we have COVID and your neighbor is now your enemy.
And the level of suspicion and fear is pretty intense.
And it's 18 months. It turned a country into the U.S. And if I was a Canadian, I'd be choked about that just right off the top. You turned us into Americans, damn it.
That's fighting words. America's like the meth lab in the basement that we don't like to talk about and especially don't like to be compared to.
Well, in this arena, I would agree. As I look at Lisa, I look at Brittany, I look at you, Will, I look at our friends who were on last week. And none of you are unreasonable people. And yet you are now, you are painted as unreasonable if you don't ask for a vaccine. Or if you're not vaccinated.
I feel like both Sean from last week and you, Lisa, and both groups of people on Facebook in general, I feel like we're setting a new standard here in Canada now for what peaceful protest can look like.
Totally.
In its own way, I view this as a peaceful protest. And I think, wow, this is some pretty damn good peaceful protest. Like, this is great. Obviously, there's a certain level of wackadoos and whatnot that get involved in these groups that spout stuff that is not kosher or cool. But for the most part, the vast majority of people, it's a binding level of community. And it's really, it's heartening to see people pulling together.
Definitely.
For something.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, right? No matter whether you've gotten the shot or you haven't gotten the shot, right now is the time to just, like, stand together and have unity and say, like, enough is enough already. And it's just too much, right? That's the thing. And that's what we want our group to be, right? There's no, like, anti-vax, no anti-mask, no nothing like that. It's just all about businesses standing up and moving forward.
We're gonna throw those up again for the third time because it's worth repeating.
Yes.
Also, for any of you who may be listening or watching and want to get involved in posting in either of these groups, the rules are very similar for posting to both groups. Read them, please. I can't count the number of times that both groups have had to reiterate how to post and how to post effectively. It's spelled out there for you. You can do it. We believe it.
Well, we're kind of following. We're following the BC group for that too, because they've had such a success. We just want to follow in their footsteps, and it's easy, right? Then there's no chance of us getting taken down or flagging like stuff on Facebook. We just want to be the same.
It's information, and it should be easy to follow a rule like that. I like this for Melody.
She's my other sister.
Oh, that's why you got family in the show. I thought my family watched
this. This
is
a real family show today.
It seems interesting that we are afraid of our neighbor now all of a sudden. And that's not right. It just isn't right. If for the majority of us who have had COVID or who have the vaccine, we shouldn't be worried anymore. We shouldn't be afraid because we're vaccinated. It should not be. Why are we afraid for the guy who does not want to get the vaccine? And this at the root of a lot of this for me. Is why should we be afraid for the guy who chooses not to get the vaccine? And yet it seems
I think the government, I think the government has made it where it's like, if you don't get it, you're out to kill someone's grandma, right? And now it's like, if you don't get it, you're out to kill someone's child. It's like, it's that fear, I think, that they've put in it. Like, I imagine people, like when I was younger, my parents, we would watch the news every single day. At 6 o'clock, we'd watch the news. Well, I don't have that anymore. So I think of these people, every single day, they're watching the news, numbers go up, all these variants that are happening and everything like that. So I think it's very fearful, like fear driven. People are so scared of it.
I feel like I'd be reticent not to say that, speaking from my point of view, that obviously I don't think the people who aren't getting vaccinated are like out to kill grandmothers or anything like that. But I do think that I view it as irresponsible and potentially dangerous to the people around you. But at the same time, I don't believe that it's government's job to step in and hold a metaphorical, not quite a gun to your head, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And force it. I feel like the better path to that is through education and through helping people understand why the vaccine may be a good idea or a better idea, as opposed to ramrodding it down the pipes like they're doing. Exactly. And they're not even doing the work. They're just giving a mandate and expecting smaller businesses to do the work for them. And that's the part that I take issue with. Like, I think that everyone should be getting vaccinated. That's my take on it. But I don't think that we're going about it in the most ethical way possible by any stretch. Mm-hmm.
So on that note, William, are you fully vaccinated yet?
let me think. No, I've gotten both my shots. I'm just trying to remember I don't think I've quite hit my 2 weeks for my second shot. I'm like 3 days away from being fully vaccinated, the 2 weeks post second shot.
So just so you know, I don't agree with the vaccine and I got vaccinated before you. You suck.
You did. You did, actually.
And Melody, if you listen in the pre-roll from the Minister of Health and Seniors, I think her name was, they're very worried about the grandmothers and the kids. Very worried. And in my mind, I'm fairly logical. I think then vaccinate the women or the seniors and the kids, except for the kids you can't vaccinate.
Yeah.
But the kids also don't die of it. So, so vaccinate the seniors and yes, Will.
As often.
Thank you for that clarification. I need
you're welcome. Schmuck. Anytime, Dave.
So those rules, I want to go over those rules once more for those of you who are watching from Manitoba on the replays. Please read the rules. It's really easy. It's a business name. It's a type of the business. It's information. And hashtags.
Yeah, the location makes it easier. Don't just do it because, you know, it looks fancy. Do it because it makes it easier for people to find your business on the page. It benefits you directly, the person posting it. If you use the hashtags, it makes your page or your post more visible to everyone else involved.
And if your post was removed, do not send an angry message, saying, why was my post removed? Odds are, if you read the rules, you didn't obey the damn rules.
Also, remember, everyone there is a volunteer. They're doing this for free. They're doing it out of the goodness and kindness of their hearts. They're doing it because they care. Be nice. Don't be a dick.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm sure we surpassed our harsh words mandate for the episode.
How many harsh words? No, honestly, I don't think we have, Will, as I think the people who don't follow the rules are dicks and they need to be called out for it. It's not
this
that
is
hard.
Also true.
It's not hard, people. I can't even go off on that. I'm going to get angry at people just for not obeying the rules. It's not hard. Lisa.
Don't be stupid.
If there was anything that you could say to your crowd, what would it be?
I think it's just, you know what, honestly, band together, talk to your neighbor, have a conversation with them. Don't be scared of your neighbor, right? If you have to wear a mask in your yard just to talk to them, wear it, right? Like, I'm not going to tell you not to do that, but just love each other, right? It's all about unity. It's all about let's getting this, pass this together. Because reality is we are all in this together. And let's just move forward and just love each other.
Well, what about if they're not a Jets fan?
Well, I'm not a Jets fan, so that's okay.
Hey.
Okay, what about if they are a Jets fan? Do they still come on each other?
We still love you.
Okay. I'm a Nashville fan. I've been a Nashville fan for years, and so I'm a lost cause anyway. So
yeah, we're sorry for talking, Dave.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap this up. It's a shorter episode, which is awesome. I get to go eat supper, and so do you, Lisa.
Definitely.
We want to thank you for coming on, Lisa. I know it's not easy to get in the camera and say hi to everybody, but we
it
really
was totally
appreciate
okay.
it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Anytime.
William, you have any wise words of wisdom for our fine viewers?
In fact, I do. Stay safe and don't die.